Good to see everybody here this morning, and there are a few that have been out temporarily and are back in, and that's great. We're good to see you. And it's good to have our audience, whoever they are and wherever they are, out in Never Never Land. Glad you could join us on Facebook. This is the regular morning service of the Lexington Christian Church, and we're still coming in. That's great. And if you don't have a church home out there, we'd be happy to welcome you here to the Lexington Christian Church. The only announcement I have right at the moment is our business meeting a week from tomorrow. And last month we voted to change the starting time on and give people a chance to get home before it gets too dark. We will be starting at 6 o'clock from now on with the business meeting. Meeting. Do we have any birthdays this week? No birthdays. Anniversaries? In that case, let's turn to number 35 in your hymn book. Stand and glorify the Lord.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to Him we give. Alleluia to the King of Kings. Alleluia to the Lamb. Alleluia to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am.
Amen. And number 162, what a friend we have in Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. So faithful, who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Despise, forsake thee. solace there.
Brother Mitch, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Sure. Our Father and God, we come before you this morning with humbled hearts. Lord, we are so thankful, so grateful for all that you've given, for all that you've done, and even for this opportunity to gather here this morning to worship you. Lord, we ask that you touch every heart. Help us, Lord, to focus on you above all else this morning. Let no distractions move us away from what you are trying to tell us this morning. Let us receive every blessing that you want to give and share it with all others, that your kingdom will grow. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You may be seated.
As we prepare for our communion service this morning, let's turn to number 257, Near the Cross.
Till I reach
Morris will bring our meditation this morning. Before he starts, though, is there anyone who did not pick up communion service from the tray in the back? If so, Brother Phil, would you make sure they get it? Brother Wayne.
Good morning.
Morning.
The war is not over when your enemy is defeated. In a couple of months, we'll be celebrating the birth of one of America's greatest presidents, Abraham Lincoln. It's also one of the great tragedies of American history that Lincoln was assassinated at the end of the Civil War. This was a man who had the wisdom to see that the time had come to bind up the nation's wounds, doing so with malice toward none and charity toward all. Mr. Lincoln understood a great wisdom. The war is not over when your enemy is defeated. It's over when your enemy calls you his friend. Mr. Lincoln's successor, Andrew Johnson, wanted to carry out this policy but lacked the political stature to do so. As a result, we built an American South on a bitterness of conquest. Much of our later history of race relations can be traced back to this lack of wisdom. Some of us do not understand this principle. It is easy to get lost in thoughts of pride and victory and the lust for vengeance. The Lord has rightly said, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay." We ignore this principle at our peril. I'll give you a couple examples. One is after war, First World War, our politicians and those of Great Britain and France promised to take reparations from defeated Germany. The phrase they used was expressive. We will squeeze them until the pips squeak. They did too. Massive reparations, largely funded by massive American loans, were paid. The German people built their feelings on the bitterness of the conquered. Out of our folly and lack of wisdom came Adolf Hitler. But see what happened after the Second World War. We did not send a team to pillage. We sent George Marshall of the Marshall Plan. We fed a hungry Germany. We rebuilt a war-torn Europe. The results are plain. Prussian militarism and Nazism are dead except for a few adolescents. Democracy is firm. The war is over. It's the same way with our Lord. We, the sinners, are in rebellion against him, and he has the power and might to crush us completely and utterly, and the wisdom to refrain. Vengeance is truly his, for only he can judge righteously. But in his wisdom, he has not done that. Instead, he seeks to end the war between us. He seeks to make us his friends, indeed more than friends, his children. The Marshall Plan cost money. It was criticized at the time for that. War costs money, whether you wage it in combat or in love. The ultimate war between man and God cost Jesus Christ his death on the cross. But as you take communion, remember this. The war is over. Love has triumphed. God has made his enemies into his children. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day that you've given us, for all the blessings of life. We just went through Thanksgiving. We again thank you for everything we have. It all comes from you. Dear Lord, be with us as we gather around this table to partake of the emblems of Christ's body and blood. Be with each that partake of it, that they'll do so in a manner well-pleasing unto you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
We when Jesus and his disciples were in the upper room to eat the Passover meal, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, passed it among them, saying, "This is my body broken for you." And after they had eaten, he took the cup, and blessing it, passed it among them, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the remission of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me until I come again. Drink of it, all of you." Let's stand for the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Number 118, Faith of Our Fathers, Living Still in Spite of Dungeon, Fire, and Sword. Number 118.
Faith of our fathers, living still in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whene'er we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Our fathers chained in prisons dark were still in heart and conscience free. How sweet would be their children's fate if they, like them, could die for thee. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, we will strive to win all unto thee, and through the truth that comes from God, mankind shall then be truly free. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, we will love both friend and foe in all our strife, and preach thee too as love knows how, by kindly words and virtuous life. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death.
Amen. You may be seated. We have a special treat this morning. Linda Murphy's here to sing a special for us.
Isn't it awesome to be able to come in person?
Yes.
In person to the house of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We will just pursue, won't we? We'll just keep on going on one day into the next. One journey to the next. One fight to the next. Looking up, for God is our Redeemer, our strength.
Amen.
I know we have been challenged this year in ways that we never dreamed possible. And in those challenges, sometimes we get weary-worn, you know? Sometimes you don't mean to be heavy-hearted, but it just sort of comes on you anyway, doesn't it? And we fight that with the joy of the Lord in our heart and in song. I was trying to decide which one to bring this time, because it's been a long time, so I didn't know what was the last one to say. So I was like, okay, Father. I pulled out four, and I sang all four of them. They're beautiful songs. They really, really are, with wonderful messages. But this one I know I've sang here before, but it is to encourage us that God is the God on the mountain.
Amen.
But He's also the God in the valley.
Yes.
And when we're high in happiness, it's great to walk with God with the joy that He has for us. It's in those valleys of trials and temptations that sometimes we slip a little, and a little bit of our hope just starts getting thinner. But hold tight. Hold strong to your faith. Put on that armor. Get up and praise Him in spite of whatever. Because if you're down and you start praising Him, as He gets lifted up in praise, He's going to take you right with Him. So, praise God. I'm so glad you allowed me to come today.
Yeah.
Our reading this morning is from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 3 through 16. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith he was commanded as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For therefore he was taken, he was commanded as one who pleased God. And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was able to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and as good as dead, became descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them.
Amen. How's everybody doing this morning? You feeling good? That's wonderful. I see we have some guests here. Welcome. Glad to see you. As for those of you who do not know me, I'm Mark Obermiller, and this is our fifth Sunday, and usually we have someone other than Pastor Mitch giving the lesson for the day. So the Lord came to me the other day and basically said, I want you to go and talk about faith. And I said, Lord, look what all you've got me doing. You've got their Christmas display here at the church in Charlestown, and how in the world do you expect me to prepare? Basically, he said, don't. I'll be there with you. So when you get a mandate like that, it's kind of hard to turn it down. So I just wanted to talk briefly about faith this morning. As Wayne was reading in Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. And that whole chapter is about faith. And that's only a partial, that's only about half the chapter, and I just want to encourage everybody to read the chapter, the full chapter, because it explains what God expects of us as being faithful to him. Now, first of all, in order to be faithful, we have to believe. Does everybody believe in God? Does everybody believe in God? Amen. How about his son, Jesus Christ? Everybody believe in him?
Amen.
Faithful for that, right? How about the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
We all believe the Holy Spirit exists and comes into our hearts and guides us and leads us throughout the day. And we must have faith in that as well. So, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three gods in one. What an awesome thing. So, the Lord here, does anybody know how the world defines faith? Well, I just happened to look it up, see what Webster's got to say about it. And the world's view is as strong belief or trust. I have faith in our leaders. Belief in God, that's all it says, belief in God. A system of religious beliefs. Religion people of all faiths. Loyalty to duty or to a person or thing. I guess I could have faith in that box of Kleenex there that if I get a runny nose, it'll take care of it. It also says that the team's true fans keep the faith. Well, some people have made idols out of their sports teams and put that ahead of everything else in life. So there you go. Now here's the scriptural definition. Faith is the basic ingredient to begin a relationship with God. Faith is the assertion that the things revealed and promised in the Word are true, even though unseen, and gives the believer a conviction what he expects in faith will come to pass. Now, the Holy Bible. Does everybody believe that every word in this is true?
Amen.
It's truth? Do we have faith that every word in the Bible is truth?
Amen.
No matter if the world disagrees?
Amen.
No matter if another denomination says that we'll accept what the Bible calls sin? We here have learned that we teach here from the Word of God. Truth, 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 the Word of God. So, Mark Obermiller, I've got a few favorite verses that I like to live life by. And this is somewhat of a testimonial sermon and teaching. So, but few of my favorite verses, other than God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that we should be saved and have everlasting life. But like Hebrews 13:5, and in that it says, because God has said, never will I leave you or forsake you.
Amen.
What a promise. Think about that. In the worst of times, say we're struggling, we have a family member who's deathly sick, or we're deathly sick, or we're lacking money in the bank to pay a bill or something. Jesus said he will never, ever leave us. So when those times occur, we should be more prayerful, more faithful to Jesus, and talk to him about what's going on. The Bible is very clear about placing our burdens upon him. So therefore, an illness, a financial matter, anything in life that's a burden, we place that upon the Lord as he instructs us to. He wants to do that. He doesn't want us to do it. The devil will say, don't bother God with that. Don't bother God with that. You handle it yourself. That's not what the Lord said. He said, give it to me. And when we give it to him, our lives suddenly become easier.
Amen.
And it's a truth. It suddenly becomes easier. Now, situations in life may cause stress. Stress is unhealthy for the body. I just heard this morning a doctor on the radio as I was preparing to come to church this morning. He was talking about what stress causes in our body. It causes our muscles to tighten up. It causes, he even described muscles in the bloodstream to restrict. It even talks about our heart muscles getting restricted. I remember being so stressed out in my past that there were times I just felt like I was being smothered. But when we give that burden to the Lord, placed upon his shoulders, we have no excuses. We should not be stressed out over something. And if we do get stressed out over something, talk to the Lord. You know, heaven is just a prayer away, like that one radio show Ed Bousman talks about. The original internet, straight prayer, straight from us to God. And God, I believe God answers all prayer. It may not be in the way we expect, but he answers all prayer. One thing about faith, we have to have faith in God that he is doing everything on our behalf. He's doing what's best for us. Amen. We may not like it. We may not like it. The Bible's clear about trials. That when we go through a trial, we'll come out on the other side, better person. And you'll remember those trials. You'll remember them. And it will be a lesson. So, stress, once again. We were here at the church yesterday, and we got into a discussion about stress. And this individual I was speaking to basically said, have you been stretched out? Have you been stressed? And I said, this year, not really. I've been tired, very tired, but not stressed. Now, Mitch is my witness, and Brother Herman, who we pray with in the mornings, they're all witness to my stress. Oh, they've heard me bellyache and complain and cry about stuff in the past, and it did no good. All it did made me feel bad. So when I finally, when the Lord finally booted me enough to say, hey, give it to me, it got easier. Amen. It got easier. So I want to hear some of others' scripture. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. These two I really enjoy. In this NIV version, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now here's the Amplified version. Now if you want to hear a verse that's broken down or added to, listen to this. Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in every, and in parentheses, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific request known to God. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, is yours. Woo, that just kind of wore me out. Now, here's the Mark Obermiller version. Now, do not quote Mark Obermiller, because this is paraphrasing, but mine is, don't worry about it, pray about it, believe that you received it. That's the Mark Obermiller version. That's my paraphrase. So, if you like it, use it, but always refer to God's Word. Philippians 4:13, NIV, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. The Amplified version, I can do all things, which he has called me to do. Through him who strengthens and empowers me, fulfills his purpose, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. Whew. Mark Obermiller's version, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's basically what the NIV says, but that's just my version. And again, Philippians 4:19. Chapter 4 in Philippians got a lot of stuff in it. Got a lot of good stuff. And it says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. And Amplified, and my God will liberally supply, fill until full, your every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I was surprised how short that one was. So even the Amplified can't expand on what's already been done. And of course, the Mark Obermiller version, God will meet your needs according to the riches and glories of Jesus. Therefore, we fall back again in faith. Here's God's word. You all said that you believe every word that's in the Bible. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Scripture that says that Jesus will never leave or forsake us. He'll meet all our needs. We may not get the wants. We may not get that luxury cruise like we all desire sometime. We may not get that high-end brand new automobile. But he'll provide us with what we need. Amen. Believe that. Have faith in that. And you don't have anything to worry about. Worry is of the devil. The devil will make you worry about stuff. About stuff. The other one, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Think about that. About a year ago, it was about this time last year, I was working at Charlestown, you know, with the light display had just been turned on. The Lord came to me and said, I want you to do that at your church, at Lexington Church. I said, oh, come on, Lord. And he repeated it. I want you to bring us up before the members of the church to do an animated light display for all my glory. Lord, I won't have time. I can't do that. Look at our church. The average age of the people in our church is in the upper 60s. Who's going to climb on the roof? Who's going to do? I want you. Okay, so I forget what meeting it was, January or February. We had a meeting here, and I brought it up, and everybody in attendance, it was unanimous, said, let's do it. I said, wow. Long story short, if you look out in the parking lot, guess what? We've got a light show that's going on right now, honoring the Lord. Praise the Lord. Have faith in God. God put on the hearts of certain people to go above and beyond. Gave up every Saturday since, six weeks ago? He quickly found out how much time it takes to do the type of display we're doing here. Kathy mentioned yesterday, she just kind of said, I always thought when I first heard about it, just throw up a few lights and we're done. She said, boy, was I wrong. So, and then about the same time, the Lord put on my heart about having a pageant, a life play depicting the birth of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's before we all knew about this pandemic that's going on around the country. So, yeah, we can do that, I guess. So it all manifested. Everybody here was in agreement. And now we are in the final planning stages of making that so. And we will be having a meeting after the service. We'll just stay in here to talk a little bit about what's coming up and try to figure out who's going to do what. So I don't want to get into that here right now. But I just have a feeling in my heart that this pageant is going to be wonderful. I'm more excited about that than I was the display being turned on and running. I think this pageant is going to be something that will create memories, that will touch hearts. And God said, would touch the hearts of everyone who comes here. We prayed for anointing on this parking lot, that the Lord will touch the hearts on everybody who enters. Because I believe that during this time of pandemic, that this COVID stuff is a wake-up call from the Lord. Amen. Saying you, as a civilization, have gone too far. You kicked me out of your schools. And we as a church allowed it to happen. You're aborting, you are killing my babies in the womb. And now you're doing it outside the womb. The church let it happen. And now homosexuality is raised, gone rampant. The Supreme Court ruled that same-sex couples can marry. We, the church, allowed it. Even though God's word is very clear and very specific. I truly believe that God is waking us up with this pandemic. Should we worry about this pandemic? Well, I personally have placed it on God's shoulders. I'm not worried about it. I am not worried about it. I will use common sense in places, and I will follow what the Lord tells me to do. So moving ahead with this, the enemy will try and stop us from doing any good, to try to bring people to Christ. There's been a few obstacles with the Christmas display. Every time it rains, our lights start to flicker. That's all right. We'll get it fixed. They're marked. We just got to get them sealed. Had a few controllers that just refused to cooperate. That's all right. Problem solved. The pageant coming up. Kind of a little short on participants, but that's okay. I believe God's going to provide. So talking about this, when we first started discussing about doing this Christmas display, I started getting prices, and brought it up in a meeting that we were going to need to get started a little over $4,000. So the church agreed, and we started buying supplies. And I came back to the church and said, we're going to probably need about $750 more to complete. And I think we've got maybe $180 of that left. However, there are many people who have donated Christmas lights, who have donated supplies, who have donated lumber, who have donated what we need to make it happen. So by the time we're done, the cost will be climbing. But what I'm talking about, when God gives us something to do, the first thing we should not worry about is cost. If the Lord says, I want it done, he's got a bigger checkbook than any place, anyone, anybody in this world. Amen. And here's my proof. Some may somewhat disagree, but I don't. I believe this. Last, I guess it was October, on a sunny day, breezy winds, a tree limb fell on the parsonage. And it came down in such a way, very slow. We had a witness said he saw it came down. Said it just came down so slow and just rested on the roof of the house. And it punched a little hole near the eave of the house and broke a couple of supporting trusses upstairs. So the insurance company came and took a look at it, and we had to pay to have a limb removed. And the insurance company paid us, $4,700? That right there paid for our Christmas display. Now, yes, we had to have trees removed. We had to pay to have that limb removed. But Brother Jim looked upon it, and he said, I'm going to go up in the attic just see how much damage there is. He went up there, and Brother Jim fixed it. He had it done in a matter of a few hours. The roof is patched, repaired, and it did not cost 1 cent. Right? Not 1 cent. Praise the Lord. Amen. Moving ahead, and backing up just a little bit, I've seen more stuff going on in this church in the past year than since I've been here. Amen. The attitude of people has been changing. The love for each other is increasing. It's increasing. It's increasing. The participation is increasing. It's just a wonderful thing to see the work going on in our church the way it is right now. Praise God. Thank you for that. So again, having faith in the Lord. Amen. Moving forward, Brother Jim brought up about having our parking lot redone. A lot of grass is growing up in it, and you pull in, you really weren't sure where to park because there's more grass than there was gravel. So Brother Jim contacted Coombs Construction, and they came by and looked at it and gave us a quote. And Brother Jim, he brought it up at a meeting, and it was decided at the meeting to move forward and have the parking lot repaired. And just last weekend, the work was completed, and it looks good out there. Looks really, really nice. It's just so changed the look of our property. Brother Jim, would you like to make your announcement? Amen.
And since I've retired, and my wife has retired, I pledged that I would become a better servant.
Amen.
And we have moved into this community a couple of years ago. And I think what made us come to the church initially was we didn't know Penny and Marvin.
Amen.
And we never even thought of looking for another church.
That is wonderful.
So even though our congregation is older, we found a place to serve.
Amen.
And we prayed that we could become better servants to this church. So We've been doing several projects, and as long as the Lord gives us strength, we will continue.
Amen.
In that.
Amen.
The parking lot was a deal that I'm not sure everybody thought that was a priority for the church, but with the Christmas pageant coming up and the way it looked, I took it upon my heart to pray about.
Amen.
To see what my part could be in helping the church look better, but also to help into the Christmas pageant and what we're doing out there.
Yes.
Started working with a contractor here that most people know, Jeff Coombs Construction. I asked him to give us a bid. He gave us a bid of, I think it was $3,685. That included three loads of gravel, and he was going to donate his labor and his men's labor to putting that in with a drainage tile alongside of this building out here and running that out so we won't have water problems.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So he ended up, I kept talking to Jeff. I never got mad at him because I knew that he told me he was probably 2 months out at the beginning before he'd ever get to us. So I kept getting closer to our pageant and the light show, and I kept calling about every week.
He did.
We got her down, and Mitch had his tractor hooked to it, and we had a rope on it to pull it that way. About the final cut, Coombs Construction shows up.
Yep. He was bound and determined he was going to cut that tree down. It became a project.
So we ended up starting to cut some of the limbs off of it. And we got a little bit of time to get it out of there. We will take care of that tree. They just started ripping limbs off of it, tearing it up. And they hauled everything away.
Faith, ladies and gentlemen, faith. God provided once again.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Jim, for that heartfelt testimony. I just want to encourage everyone, place your burdens upon the Lord and have faith that he's going to do for you what is best for
Amen.
You. That's what it's all about.
Yep.
You may not like it, but God knows what's best. So at this, Brother Jim.
One more thing. I think, you know, if anybody knows Jeff Coombs, and you see him, you thank him
yes.
tremendously
yes.
for what he has done.
Yes.
And I think I'm going to get a card and something that all our members can sign. Thank you.
Yes.
That's a very good idea. Yes. So, in closing, if anyone has a need, our altars here at Lexington Christian Church are always open. At any time, if you feel the Lord calling you, if there's something in your life that you need to repent of, if there's some unforgiveness in your life that you need to repent of that forgiveness, come forward. You'd like to place your membership here at our church, come forward. It doesn't hurt. We just would love, this church is the most loving group of people I've ever been associated with. And if you knew my history coming here, you would know what I'm talking about love. So if there's a need, please come. Brother Bob.
Our invitation hymn this morning is number 361, Only Trust Him. Let's stand and sing.
Every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now.
save you. He will save you. He will save you now. For Jesus shed his precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. Come then and join this holy band, and on to glory go, to dwell in that celestial land where joys immortal flow. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you.